The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, with you on this Tuesday, folks, the 11th day of August, 2020. And I've got Harley Schlanger waiting in the wings here. We are going to skip the commercial breaks, except for the bottom of the hour. And his latest article that's posted on Republic Broadcasting Network, a campaign unlike any other. And within the first sentence of, or the second sentence of this story, do we have the moral fitness to survive? Now, before I bring Harley on, I wanted Harley to hear this, because this is what's been on a lot of people's minds. I don't know who this gentleman is. He's not identified in the video. There's no retakes on this or cutouts or anything else. This just comes straight from the guy's heart. Take a listen.
What we're actually seeing is the systematic implementation of the fall of the Republic and the rise of the Corporation of the United States. Every major event is a step in the ladder to achieve that end. COVID is just another rung in the ladder, which is why there's a deliberate mixing of all the wordplay. Right? I mean, we should stop calling it, you know, quarantine. That's a term designated for people that are verified sick. This is a house arrest mandated by the state. You should stop calling it, you know, social distancing. There's nothing social about forced isolation. We should stop saying safer at home when millions of Americans don't have basic necessities adequate to fit their needs. It assumes that everybody's home is equally as safe as the people that are making the statements. We should stop saying, you know, this is for the greater good. Right? When you close the economy, killing millions of businesses that families have worked generations to establish, that's anything but good. We should stop saying, this is the new normal. That's just blatant mind control drivel. There's nothing normal about forced isolation, you know, treating your neighbor like they have the plague, breathing your own bodily waste, wearing masks, living in constant fear of contamination. That's normal. I mean, after all, if the virus is so deadly, why hasn't it wiped out the homeless who don't social distance, wash themselves regularly, let alone, you know, live in or have access to a sterile environment? Last year, 1.5 million people died of tuberculosis. Why were you not wearing a mask during the tuberculosis pandemic? You were endangering, you know, public health and safety along with billions of other people around the globe. So why didn't you wear a mask? I'll tell you why. Because the mainstream media didn't tell you to wear a mask. Right? And so because though 1.5 million people died from tuberculosis, there was no tuberculosis pandemic any more than there's a coronavirus pandemic. What you're really participating in is a beta test for AI systems and facial recognition. See, these cameras work best when people are, you know, distance apart. Now they're actually testing through machine learning how to recognize, you know, a face that's partially covered. It's also a way to easily determine who's compliant and who's not. Who does the propaganda work on and who it doesn't? Now get this, you know, there's some ironies that are here, right? A society that kills millions of babies a year for convenience has shut itself down to prevent adults from dying. People that on the one hand slaughter babies in the womb by the millions are now preaching to the masses about the sanctity of human life. It's double speak, double talk. It's the two doctrine policy, one for the initiated, one for the uninitiated, one for the inner circle, another for the masses. It's like saying, you know, if I violate the stay-at-home order, I can be arrested, but you're letting convicted criminals out of prison so they don't get coronavirus. Thesis, antithesis, synthesis. If there's a real pandemic, does it require, you know, faulty virus models, rigged test results, 81% false positives, inaccurate news reporting, staged hospital overruns, manipulated death certificates? Nope. You know, when the government shuts down, you know, millions of small businesses but doesn't lay off any government employees, it's not about the health. When the state bans dentists from practicing but deems it necessary for abortion clinics to stay open, it's not about your health. When the state prevents you from buying seeds for your garden but allows you to purchase lottery tickets, it's not about your health. An institution that, you know, has the ability to destroy all of Earth through, you know, alleged nuclear warfare should not regulate personal self-defense. You know, an institution that's caught trafficking drugs shouldn't be able to regulate plants. An institution that's racked up $23 trillion prior to coronavirus in debt shouldn't be allowed to manage the retirement fund. An institution that was caught spreading STDs should not be allowed to run healthcare. If people are really concerned about public health and safety, you know, in general, but, you know, they don't care if people, you know, eat garbage, drink poison, smoke cancer, and take prescription drugs, but think that toilet paper, hand sanitizer, and mask are going to protect them from the boogeyman coronavirus. You know, this is a special kind of stupid that I can't address here. You should ask yourself a couple basic questions. When did you consent from, you know, you creating a government to serve you to you serving the government ruling over you? If you want to know, you know, who's in charge, just think about who you can and can't criticize.
Harley Schlanger, how you doing this evening?
Doing pretty well, John. How are you?
I wanted you to hear that because it hit on a lot of points. And as I was reading your story, it just jumped out at me. And you wrote the story about the Trump election. Or non-election, in that, do we have the moral fitness to survive? Arlie, that's been asked by a lot of people. And we have discovered those that want to see, and begrudgingly so. I've said this many times, I'm not sure that I want to know all of what the federal government has done, because a lot of it's been classified, buried, you name it, kept out of the public purview. But we've got a problem here, and we are rotten to the core. Is electing Donald Trump or not electing him, does that matter?
Well, in my article, the point that I make, there are two points that I make. One is that Trump came in with an intention, at least a stated intention, of overturning the policies of the previous administrations on strategic matters, on trade matters, on so-called science matters like global warming and so on. Mm-hmm. And he has followed through with some of those promises, but he hasn't followed through with all of them. And part of the problem is that he did not have the ability or the power to root out the entrenched bureaucrats in the government who control the levers of power. And furthermore, he didn't have full support of the Republican Party and in total opposition from the Democrats and a lying media. So that's the starting point of the problem. But the second point I make is that it really comes down to the American people. And that's why, you know, years ago, LaRouche asked the question, do we have the moral fitness to survive? Will we keep our republic? Because a republic requires active participation. It requires thinking. It requires creativity. It requires a citizenry, at least a strong minority in the total population, that has a commitment to institutions of self-government such that they'll actually do something to make sure the interests of the people are protected. And so that's the question of, do we have the morality to survive? The simple answer, if you look at the overall situation, is no, we don't, because we haven't acted that way, the way that citizens must act to defend a republic. Now, on the other hand, when given an opportunity in 2016 to continue business as usual with Hillary Clinton, who would have continued the Bush, Obama, Clinton legacy, people voted against it and voted in Donald Trump. And Trump was explicit in what he was attacking Clinton for, the various things I was just talking about. So we did demonstrate at least a willingness to go out and cast a vote. But that's not enough. And as you and I have discussed many, many times, part of this is on the president. He should be having regular discussions with the American people, whether they're fireside chats, whether he buys 5-minute advertisements on television or however he does it. He should be doing that to talk to the people about what Russiagate was about, who's behind it, what their intention was. And then secondly, the American people have to show the guts and the moral commitment to defend our republic, which on the whole we have not yet done. So that's the challenge that I laid out in the article. It's an election unlike any other, because you can always say, well, this next election is the most important we face. Well, that's always true. But this is the first time where we've seen a potential to roll back 50 years of terrible policy. And that potential was not realized. Will we have that potential in the next 4 years or not? Or will the old crowd come back in riding a wave of Obama nostalgia? I mean, I feel almost indecent using those terms together, but there are people who say they're nostalgic for the return of the Obama period, the so-called normal times. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was what I raised in the article. And, you know, I think there's nothing that demonstrates this problem more than what happened over the weekend in Portland, Oregon, where after the U.S. government, after Trump removed the federal troops that were protecting federal property from the Antifa hooligans, as soon as they're gone, they show up again. And what do? They set fire to a police station with 20 people, including police officers, inside the station and barricade it and try to kill them. And then you have the mayor of Portland, this guy Wheeler, who's been defending the looters and thugs as peaceful protesters. He finally came out and he said, you're not demonstrating, you're attempting to commit murder. And then what did he say? He said, you shouldn't do this because it makes you a prop for Trump's election campaign. So he didn't say you shouldn't do this because it's wrong, illegal, and you should go to jail. He said, don't let yourself be used to help reelect Trump. So that's a perfect example. An elected mayor of a major American city who can make such a stupid, immoral statement and not immediately be driven out by the population.
And that's an interesting observation. He also went out in the crowds wearing a mask and wearing eye protection. They spit on him, called him names. This is not about Black Lives Matter. Chicago was just lit up. The Miracle Mile. And Harley, I hadn't been to Chicago. I lived in Michigan at the time, and I'd never been to Chicago. And I heard about Michigan Avenue and the Miracle Mile, and I thought, yeah, right. So there I am downtown Chicago, and I'm looking, and there's no bars on windows, expensive jewelry stores. It looked like a sane mecca, you know, retail mecca in the middle of, I don't know what you would want to call Chicago, but it sure as hell isn't normal. I am
but
shocked.
But John, it used to be a city that worked,
yeah,
because it had real jobs, productive jobs. You had the steel industry there. You had electronics. You had construction. You had people who were having an opportunity to improve their lives and give a better future to their children. That ended in the 70s and 80s with the shift the country, the transformation the country underwent from an industrial agricultural republic to a post-industrial rust heap, which outsourced our production and turned our productive workers into people who have to scramble to make a living, the so-called gig economy. So, you know, we've done it to ourselves, but it's been orchestrated from the top by the banks, the corporate cartels and insurance and big pharma and food production, energy production. These cartels control and run the government, not the people. And so that's the fight that we have.
It's interesting. Trump ran, well, we all remember this. I mean, folks, we're talking, what, 4+ years ago, the run-up to the election of Donald Trump. I watched with glee Trump standing on stage with, what, 17 other Republicans? The best that they
eviscerated them.
the best. I mean, and it was great when he got down to no energy Jeb. I watched that happen, and then I watched people that were looking for the conspiracy that Trump came into office. He was handpicked, and he was here to carry out the orders of the deep state. And I looked at them, and I just in disbelief, because you could not conduct across the corporate-controlled media to the degree that they did, the shocked look, the gasp, the guttural reactions when they finally realized that Hillary Clinton lost and Donald Trump won. And then, of course,
Trump, do you remember the quip that Trump made at that South Carolina debate that destroyed Jeb Bush, where Jeb was saying that you know, his family's there to back him, and he's very optimistic about the outcome. And then Trump said, well, I see you have to bring your mama here to help you. And Jeb Bush said, my mother's the strongest person I know. And then Trump said, well, maybe she should be running for president instead of you. And that was just after he challenged Jeb Bush to acknowledge that his brother, George W., lied to get us into a war. And what did the media do? They attack Trump for bringing that up, even though everyone in the country knows it's true, that we went to war in Iraq based on lies. We lost thousands of American lives. We killed hundreds of thousands of Iraqis. We spent trillions of dollars based on lies. And then we continued to do that in Libya, destroyed Ukraine, destroyed Syria. We're now, you know, in a situation where the United States, under the war party, in both parties, the military-industrial complex, is destroying whole sections of the world. And what is the crime of these countries? They don't want to go along with the economic policies of the international bankers. That's what Libya has in common with Iraq, and also with Russia and China. And so, you know, Trump set out to do something about it. And that's why he was attacked. Now, I don't know if you had a chance to see the interview. I had an exclusive interview this last week with Roger Stone. And Roger made this point repeatedly, that what was clear to him was that the establishment in both parties, what he calls the duopoly, that in the so-called left-right alliance, which we see when Trump tries to pull troops out of Afghanistan, you get Democrats and Republicans opposing him. What Roger said is that they were so shocked by Trump's election, and then that Trump was bringing in Michael Flynn to reorganize the intelligence community, that's when they blew a gasket and decided to go whole hog with Russiagate. So we haven't really had Trump as a president for 3.5 years. We've had a hand-to-hand battle between the Obama intelligence community, the permanent bureaucracy, and the Justice Department, the State Department, the intelligence community, combating the wishes of the American people to stop these wars and stop these bailouts and start reinvesting in building our country. So, well, we haven't had that yet.
Yeah. Well, Trump, I was kind of amazed The Trump, one of the things he ran on, make America great. Okay, we all got that. We got to bring back American jobs. Everybody understood that. How many companies were shipped out of the United States? Tons of them. Hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of jobs lost.
Millions, yeah.
Yeah, and I looked at this, but then I saw the press releases coming from the White House that, you know, blacks, they've never enjoyed more more employment, or the Hispanic community. Newsflash, 3.5%. Oh, that's the unemployment rate, 3.5%. Now, Harley, I can remember 2016, we had 90-plus million people due to the banker takedown, of which nobody got questioned, nobody was pulled into court, nobody was charged, nobody was found guilty, nobody went to jail. And that was a ripoff of more than $250 billion. Yeah. So we were already weakened and smashed by that. And what indicates to me that this is the banker's dream is here we have this very closely monitored and worldwide rollout of COVID-19. Let's scare the hell out of them. We want them all to take vaccinations. But then I see these trillion-dollar bailouts. What sane individual occupying any office within government would look at what this plandemic did to privately owned businesses in this country? These people are never coming back. Whether they get $600 or $1,200 and extended unemployment, whatever. Or the program that was to make loans that not necessarily will be paid back for these employers to make sure that their employees have a paycheck for a business that's not going to exist anymore.
Yeah.
And they've piled on to this mess $3 trillion, possibly $4 trillion or more. This is insanity. Who benefits by this?
John, the $3 to $4 trillion, most of it is earmarked for the speculators who can line up at BlackRock and make a case that they have unsustainable debt that needs to be funded by free money from the Federal Reserve. Now, here's the other point on this whole situation. Trump correctly pointed out that the so-called Obama recovery was nothing but a stock market bubble and a lot of people working low-wage jobs that were not really sustainable. And what happened was he, on his campaign, said he was going to push for Glass-Steagall to take the power away from the investment banks to loot the savings of Americans in the commercial banks for their purposes of speculation. He said he would stop that. And he went to Pelosi, who had said she thinks that would be a good idea. And Pelosi said, oh, I never said that. I'm not going to work with you on that. He went to the Republican Party, and the Republicans said, no, we're against bank regulation. Now, there are two different kinds of bank regulation. One is the kind that was with Dodd-Frank that strangles the local community banks, the what's left of the savings and loans and so on, in regulatory red tape. That's the regulation regime that has to go. But Glass-Steagall is simple. It just said the government is not going to bail out speculators who lose money or let them steal the deposits of their clients. That's what Glass-Steagall would do. And neither the Republicans nor the Democrats would fight for that, to restore that. And so we had a new stock market bubble, and that stock market bubble started to crack in August and September, 3 months before the first case of coronavirus was identified. The Federal Reserve moved in with a new round of quantitative easing, up to $70 to $120 billion a night in short-term overnight loans to protect the shadow banking system.
Well, and how that was used, it was kind of like a kiting operation. You got zero interest here, you move funds around, you're not charged, you move more funds here, more funds there. The question that begs to be asked, was this an invention by the international banks? Because
well,
they're
of course
the one
it was.
Okay, so yeah. It was.
But, and here's the key. What they did by getting this free money, and this has been the case since 2008, they never were forced to write down what they knew were worthless investments. They're carrying financial instruments on their books at face value, which if they had to actually sell, might not even net 5 cents on the dollar. And yet they're allowed to keep them on their books at face value and then trade them, take the money from their clients to buy and sell these worthless instruments, where they make money whether the instrument is worth anything or not, but their clients are ultimately the ones left holding worthless paper. And what did the policy with the so-called CARES Act do? It set up BlackRock, the largest equity firm in the world and at the center of the financial shadow banking system, to choose who are the people who will get free money for these speculative investments. And importantly, when we have a wave of evictions and foreclosures, which we will have, Trump is trying to stop it without any help from the Congress. But you know, it could be overridden. It could be that the Supreme Court will stop it. But in any case, there's going to be a wave of foreclosures that will be bigger than 2008. And at that point, the friends of BlackRock will get their cash to go in and buy these houses at a nickel on the dollar. So people will lose everything, and the speculators will once again make out like bandits. That's what was set up in this thing.
It's some conservatively say that there's 30 million homes that are going to go bye-bye, and I think it's closer to 40 million. And again, there is doctrine and policy on COVID-19. And look over here, look over here. Don't pay attention to what's going over or the effect that all of this money that we have put out there in circulation, and it's being borrowed in the name of the American people, and you don't see the banks going, hey, we're with you, we're all in this together, we're going to loan money, and it's going to be at zero interest.
They're not making the loans they're supposed to make under the CARES Act. The only ones getting the money are the big guys. But, you know, just to put this in front of your listeners, mm-hmm. on August 15th, we will reach the 49th anniversary of the shift of the United States from a productive manufacturing economy into a speculative rust heap. This was when Nixon broke the relationship of the dollar to gold as a gold reserve and ended the fixed exchange system of the Bretton Woods that was the post-war economic system. So that happened 49 years ago. And each decade, we saw a whole new area of change, of transformation, that gave more and more power to the private banks through the central banks, along with the corporate cartels that ran the free trade agreements. And these corporations that are global, they don't give a damn if a product's made in America or if it's made in Thailand. They want the cheapest labor, and they know that Americans ultimately will have to pay for it. So this is the almost the 50th year that we've been in this new regime. And it's not working. It's bankrupt. It's got to change. And the problem is it's not just COVID-19. There are hundreds of different theories out there designed to distract people. The whole question of the divide between left and right, mm-hmm. you know, the racial issue, the identity politics. Instead of Americans seeing us as a nation with a mission that was given to us by our founding fathers, we're looking at what's in it for me, what's my group, what's my special interest, what can I get out of this? That's what's been done to us.
You know, I remember the immortal words of the now dead Richard Nixon, "I am not a crook." Well, this, what he did closing the gold window was 10 times bigger than the Watergate break-in. But of course, that was kind of a distraction as well. Harley Schlanger is my guest. Let's take a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extend your life with Extendovite. Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Well, today we got the announcement from Creepy Joe's camp. Kamala Harris will be his running mate as vice president for the presidency of the United States. Many, Harley, were expecting Michelle Obama or Hillary Clinton, and I couldn't think of any bigger baggage to drag in, and I mean on Joe Biden, no less. I couldn't think of anything more baggage-ridden than those two. So Kamala Harris, I guess, looked like the least dangerous option. But as we've witnessed here, all the polls have Joe Biden up over Trump. And I don't think that's the case at all. This guy won't even climb out of a basement. He cannot do a talk of any sort without an earpiece in his ear, without being prompted, or having a teleprompter pasted in front of him. Whether it's virtual or whether he is on stage with Donald Trump, how does Joe Biden think that he's going to do a debate with Donald Trump?
Well, I think they're working on a way to get out of the debates. And I think that's being worked on by people like Carville and Paul Begala, the old Clinton and Obama people are trying to figure out how to escape the debates. But I think there's also some thinking that if they don't think Biden can stand up at all, with Harris you have someone who they feel comfortable will do the total bidding of the same people who are going to run Biden. Now, you have to keep in mind, I mean, Biden is like someone in the Federal Witness Protection Program. You hardly see him. You don't know where he is. He's in a basement somewhere. How's he running for president? How's he getting ahead? Well, you have a smear and slander machine against the president. That's all it is. They're making Americans angry, trying to direct the anger and the frustration at the conditions of the country at Trump. And I can tell you, Roger Stone is among the people who are saying that Trump's campaign team is doing a terrible job because they're forgetting what they did in 2016. What they did then is they went after Hillary with great enthusiasm and vigor, but they also presented a positive picture. And what Roger was telling me the other day is that he doesn't think that's happening right now. He doesn't think the polls are accurate because the thing about polls is you never know whether people who say they're going to vote for Biden will actually go out and do it because he's not exactly the most compelling person. But Roger's view is that Trump is in some trouble because his campaign team is not so good. You have people like Bannon who are trying to run things from the outside, and that's not very effective. And you have this strategy that you polarize to win. And what Roger said happened in 2016 is that Trump effectively brought in a whole section of independents and even moderate Democrats to vote for him, and that's not being targeted this time. So, you know, in 3 months, can you change it? Well, of course you can. You got a candidate you're running against who can't put together a sentence. That's why I think if this thing really does start to work, if Trump regains what he did in 2016 in terms of his common touch, his mobilization of the people, I think the Democrats are going to think about what they can do to dump Biden. And in that sense, Harris may be a seat holder, but not the ultimate nominee. And you still could have a Michelle Obama, or I don't think Hillary is a choice they could possibly go with, but well, I'm not sure Biden will be the nominee.
Well, and you may be right. Bill Clinton is going to be addressing the DNC. But we all know what baggage Hillary carries, but does that really matter when you have a controlled media? Because they had her voted in 2016.
No, it does matter. But, John, it does matter because Trump exposed Hillary as a fraud very effectively in 2016. And, in fact, Hillary exposed herself. I mean, it's amazing what people forget. The whole issue of the WikiLeaks documents was not, did the Russians hack it? The whole issue was, did Hillary treat Bernie Sanders unfairly by violating the laws of the party and election laws to win the nomination? That got covered up. But, you know, we're at a point now where so much is coming out on Russiagate. The only thing missing in all the discussions is what was the real intent of Russiagate? And the real intent was to stop Trump from working with Putin. Now, you watch in the next couple months. I think Trump is, he just announced that he wants to have Putin at the G7 meeting. The U.S. is still working with the Russians on dealing with the pockets of terrorism in Syria and Iraq. So I think there's some surprises that will come up that will remind people of why they supported Trump. And I also think, while it's unfortunate it had to come down to this, the attempt to provide some help for people, you know, I think it's terrible that we're in this situation with the economy. However, what Trump showed is that the Democrats talk about how much they care about people, but they wouldn't do a damn thing to help the most vulnerable people, the ones who are going to lose their apartments, lose their homes, right, have already lost their jobs. Pelosi is using this as a political football. So Trump's move to executive order is a way to flank the Democrats, but it also shows he could use executive orders to do the things he was stopped he couldn't do because of congressional opposition. So we may see some very interesting developments in the next 3 months.
Well, and we've witnessed, we've got a governor down here in Texas that pretty much half the state wants to hang right now, because we're one of the Republican states that are, COVID-y. We still got to wear a mask, and people are angry. I mean, they are angry. And in order to enforce this, they went to the governors, they went to the city mayors, they went to whomever they could to say, look, this is policy, this is the COVID-19, we must do these sorts of things in order to stop this pandemic. And nobody, and I mean nobody, is talking about the long-term destruction of this economy. If these clowns, Harley, have the reins of this out-of-control team of horses running over the cliff, if this is not halted, this country will not come back. I mean, it will not come back.
Well, there's an even worse possible outcome, which is that the people who are running it over the cliff, if they think they're going to lose control, they'll go to another war, possibly a war with China. And this could be a catastrophe. Not that China could beat the United States in a war, because we have 10 times the amount of nuclear weapons that they have, and if it got to nuclear war, no one wins.
That's only because they didn't give them the most favored nation status 5 years before than they actually did.
Yeah, but the bigger point here is that if we end up in worse shape, the so-called deep state is perfectly prepared to launch a new war. They're already planning it. Now, you'll get a kick out of this. There was an article written in the Wall Street Journal on Sunday. I don't know if you saw it. It was written by a character who was going to be the biographer of Henry Kissinger, but someone else beat him to it. Andrew Roberts, a British professor. But he called for something called a Kanzuk Alliance, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, United Kingdom, a free trade alliance and mutual defense capability. And he said, then we can bring in the United States and call it the Anglosphere. And this guy in the article said the benefit of all these countries is they already work together on intelligence. This is the Five Eyes nations. But he said also they have a common head of state, Queen Elizabeth II. Now, this comes right after Mike Pompeo was in London cavorting with Sir Richard Dearlove and the leaders of the British intelligence units that put together the Christopher Steele report to try to destroy Trump. And, you know, this is where you see traitors within and without. You know, everyone knows the Democrats are crazy and they're going to do everything they can to sabotage Trump. But people like Pompeo, who is traveling around the world building up this anti-China coalition, which really isn't working. The Australians said, well, we want to work with you on some things, but we're not going to turn our back on our leading trade partner, China. So there's a push and a pull here, but the war danger is real. And I just want to make sure your listeners are aware of that.
Well, but I think there's a better scenario that may fit, because it's already been practiced here in the United States. It's called coronavirus. And what would stop them from releasing a more virulent COVID-19 style virus? They've already done the test run here. I call it the dry run. We've got 60% of Americans running around wearing masks for, they don't even know why. They think that they're citing what the official, you know, health officials are saying. But I would look for them to do another plandemic rather than start a war with China. That might have consequences. I heard that China now has the bomb. So do we. And I understand that if we got into a nuclear exchange with China, they probably wouldn't win. But then again, we would have millions of dead. And a planet that, you know, their push was for, oh, global warming. Well, okay, start off a nuclear war and see what nuclear winter does for you. You know, it doesn't add up. And I understand that it has been the practice of when politics become exposed, this is why we need a distraction with a lot of blood and guts and expense and so on and so forth.
Well, that's exactly what it is. You know, if you take a look at this whole question of our concern with the South China Sea and we're sending all these destroyers in there.
Yeah.
What would happen if the Chinese decided to send part of their naval fleet into the Gulf of Mexico on the pretext of protecting Venezuela from a U.S. coup? You know, you see the hypocrisy that we live with. This is, again, the question of the moral capacity to survive. We've tolerated leaders who have done everything possible to undermine the stability and security of our nation. And I think the positive thing is that a lot of people are becoming more and more aware of that. But unless you have a clear picture of who's doing this and why, who benefits from these crazy policies, you tend to get all kinds of conspiracy theories out there about who's doing what. You know, that is Bill Gates responsible for all these things?
Yeah.
Fauci. Well, no, it's the system. We have a system that's no good and that's crashing. These guys are functionaries in the system, just like Obama. What was Obama's power? He was placed in there to do what he did on behalf of this imperial corporate globalism. So we've got to identify who's doing it and why. And hopefully, I hope that Trump is astute enough about this that he realizes that he is in trouble and he's got to rally the population. And if he can't do it with these big rallies, then, you know, use the internet.
I think a strategy. Trump's not dumb. Trump found out that, you know, being president of the United States, and one of his wishes was to right the economy, as you said, get rid of 50 years of bad policy. And of course, that didn't fly well because he wasn't supposed to be the man in there making the policy changes. Yeah. You know, I get that, but even to the public. And most people miss this. When Mike Pence got up and he was introducing Fauci as being the lead government official here against the coronavirus, Trump turned and you could hear him saying, "I wish somebody would have told me." It was Mike Pence that brought in Fauci. You know, here was a 79-year-old guy. When you take a look at his who he was associated with and where his true power is, this is somebody that you could look at and actually say, Harley, you know, there might be a conflict of interest here.
Well, this is here's something interesting then also. I don't know if you caught this, but Trump said the other day he's now seriously looking at what he can do to go after Big Pharma. Now, Fauci's career is based on working together with the pharmaceutical cartel. There's nothing more corrupt, except maybe the biggest banks, than the pharmaceutical cartel. So all of these things are out in the open, at least for those of us who know something about it. The question is, how do we get it into the hands of the average person? And, you know, I get so many emails from people who are saying, can we trust Trump? And I said, look, this guy's made a heroic fight. He's done a lot of good things, but he's also made some mistakes. Well, what do you expect? Who does he have to turn to for advice? His top people, people like Manafort, people like Michael Flynn. You know, Flynn's job was going to be to rip apart the intelligence community because of its corruption. That's why the FBI ran this whole fraudulent campaign against him. What about Manafort? Manafort was a key guy for understanding what Putin wanted that could work with Trump, and also how the Ukraine coup in February 2014 was designed to prevent the U.S. and Russia from working together. And then why pick on Roger Stone? Well, Roger...
That's Steve Elkins throat clearing you here.
Oh, geez, I didn't know I was live there, John. Sorry about that.
You're live. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm live. You can let me know. No. Hey, Harley, since you're in Germany, if you could comment on what's going on in Berlin, Germany, with the past rally they had, 1.3 million people hitting the streets. We had enough of the mass, enough of COVID quarantine and destroying the economy. I know we have our little mini version of that right now, not quite 1.3 million, but we got this big rally here in South Dakota here called Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. Harley enthusiast, greater than 400,000 people are expected. They're defying orders and mandates. They are not going to listen, and which is good. I'm hoping that's a catalyst that will bring Americans out to say enough's enough, because when they go back home, nothing's going to happen. They said they were healthy. Everything's fine. I wonder if you can give us a comment on what you thought about what happened there in Berlin.
Well, I'm not sure it was quite as large as reported, but it was pretty large. But the problem is that German politics is defined by a nihilistic anarchism. In other words, Antifa actually started in Germany, so-called anti-fascism. And a lot of the people who were demonstrating were just demonstrating against the government, not necessarily for freedom, as we would interpret it in the United States. Some of them just wanted to have parties. There were a whole lot of things that went into it. But the problem is the same corrupt elements that run the U.S. government, the so-called deep state, they've controlled Germany since the end of World War II. And Merkel is not on the way out. She has no popularity. There's no base of support for any politician in Germany. But you know, people, when they do things like this, they see it not as political, but as partying. And so it didn't really have a lasting effect. Now, that's not to say it won't, because I'll tell you what's happening. The most important place is Italy. The Italian population thought they voted out the European Union government, and instead it's coming back at them bigger and badder than ever. And so you have a rebellion developing in Italy, which is actually a very important economic country in Europe. And if Italy leaves the European Union, I think that will be the final straw to break the European Union.
Well, how much further can Italy hang on, because their back has been broken a long time ago?
Well, they can't really hang on. That's why it's inevitable that something will change. My Italian friends are telling me that the problem is that the person who is the leader of the opposition, Salvini, was given the Trump treatment. They're trying to throw him in jail because he is in his position in the Interior Ministry arrested a ship that was illegally transporting immigrants into Italy. He shut down the ship, and they're saying that that was a violation of EU law, and he faces a possible 20-year jail term.
Right. So when is it going to become apparent that this anti-fascist, and that was a communist plot, if I understand correctly, we go back to what, 1932 with Antifa? Here they are, around the world, active again, Black Lives Matter, hijacked and run literally by two Marxist women. That's not talked about on the news. So we have this, Harley, I cannot express it any other way than a communist takeover. And we're powerless to stop this. I remember we used to travel halfway around the world to go fight communists in strange lands. But where's the intelligence agencies in this country? Why are they not ferreting out the people that fund Black Lives Matter?
They're running it. They're running it.
Thank you.
I think it's a mistake to say it's communist in the sense of the old Marxist. It's the globalists. And the globalists survive and succeed because they get people fighting left, right, Democrat, Republican, while they run things from the top. They're not going to try and set up a Marxist state where they equalize income and anything of the sort. They're going to make us all slaves.
Right.
And the richest 1% will be the ones controlling the police state and the surveillance state.
But Harley, we're talking about people that their opinions and perceptions are a product of what they see, read, and hear. And we know what they have been fed. And the problem is that, well, you're going to tell them that, finally the media is starting to talk in words such as socialism. Every once in a while you'll hear the word communism, but now you're going to try to explain to the unwashed, uneducated, culturally deficient masses, no, it's not communism, it's something over and above that. Now you're going to the heart of the globalists and the New World Order. I don't know if we have the time to do that, because...
Well, I think people are getting that. I think people do understand. Hmm. Look, one of Trump's strongest appeals was to the sovereign interest, the sovereign mission of the American Republic. Now, you have everyone talk about democracy, democracy, right. Democracy. We're a republic.
Right.
And if people got that distinction, that would be a huge step towards combating this globalization policy.
Wait a minute, Harley. They're doing commercials on Fox, Democracy 2020. I'm seeing them run the ads now for the petroleum companies that are going to make the shift when necessary to maintain their profits. But it's global warming.
Well, Green New Deal. But you know what? That can't sustain a population. And already so many Americans are living marginal existence. Like the clip you played at the very beginning, people don't have enough money at the end of the month to feed themselves or to buy the medication they need or to put gas in their car. You can't fool them with a Barack Obama eloquent speech. They're beginning to ask the question, what's gone wrong here? And the more we have people who are clearly articulating a policy alternative, the better chance we have to win this. I think it's an uphill battle, but so was the American Revolution. You know, if you would have polled the American people in 1776, I don't think many of them would have said, well, we can beat the British Empire.
Yeah.
People mobilized and did. And that should be an inspiration for us today.
We're too busy focusing on people trying to rewrite history for the country. They hate Jefferson. They hate Washington. They hate everything. And that should be a clue.
The fact is they're idiots and they're terrible historians.
Well, and I call them the cultural deficients. I mean, that almost sounds politically correct, but it is true. What do these people have to offer? They've got nothing. And I'll tell you something. This is going to be the barometer. If just for the sake of argument, that we don't have mail-in ballots, that this COVID crap is put in remission for the election, I'm not sure that we have enough people in this country to look at Joe Biden and go, that's a very, very bad choice.
Well, let me do this. I give out my email address, harleysch@gmail.com. And people who want to be part of the solution and want to be in contact with me, send me an email, harleysch@gmail.com, and I'll hook you up with my blog page for free.
All righty. Well, Harley, as always, appreciate your time, sir. Take care of yourself.
Okay. Good talking with you, John.
Okay. You as well, sir. Top of the hour break. We'll be back.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.